Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an attempt by a city council to shut down the Occupy movement through the courts. Joining us are the attorneys for Occupy Chattanooga, Scott Michaelman, who is a staff attorney with Public Citizen in Washington, D.C., and Chattanooga attorney David Veazey. We will discuss this first-of-a-kind suit that tries to force individuals to pay a county's costs for seeking judicial validation of its own law. Then American University historian Alec Linkman joins us, the author of White Protestant Nation, The Rise of the American Conservative Movement, and The Keys to the White House, a surefire way to predicting the next president. He has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984. We will discuss the fear gripping the Republican establishment that 2012 could be a repeat of the 1964 Goldwater blowout if the Tea Party radicals manage to show up at the Republican convention in August in Tampa with Newt Gingrich as their leader. Then finally, we will examine who the real Saul Alinsky was. Not the Saul Alinsky radical Newt Gingrich accuses President Obama of being, but the community organizer and political strategist who has been studied on the left and the right by Cesar Chavez, Dick Armey, Hillary Clinton, and the Tea Party, among others. Alinsky's protege, Nicholas von Hoffman, joins us. He worked with Saul Alinsky from 1953 to 1963 and is the author of the new book, Radical, A Portrait of Saul Alinsky. Joining us now is David Veazey, an attorney representing members of Occupy Chattanooga who are being sued by their local government. He's a native of Chattanooga and an active member of the American Bar Association, the Tennessee Bar Association, and the Tennessee Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Veazey.
Thank you.
And I understand that what's happening down there is a first-of-its-kind lawsuit that seeks to force individuals to pay county costs for seeking judicial validation of its own law. That strikes me as being a little Kafkaesque.
Yeah, that's right. What happened was the county had passed an ordinance setting out new permitting regulations for county property, and they didn't take any steps to enforce it, but instead they went to federal court to get an opinion saying it's constitutional, but problem is they wanted the protesters to pay for it, plus the attorney's fees, and they actually hired one of the most expensive law firms in town to do this for them.
But what is this based upon? Who's arrayed against who here? It's Hamilton County against Occupy Chattanooga, but the Occupy movement is fairly, what would I say, amorphous. They're not incorporated. They're not like Bank of America. I mean, So give us a sense of what provoked this and why resort to this tactic.
Right. I don't think they put too much thought into who to name in the lawsuit. And you're right, it's not a legal entity. And they also named John Doe's and Mary Doe's. But I think they just want to get a green light from the federal court so they can go ahead and start removing people from the county lawn, from the courthouse.
And tell me about the demonstration itself that's provoked this unusual judicial maneuver on the part of the local council.
Well, they've had tents set up there and a fire pit for a few months now. I don't remember exactly when they started, but it's fairly small, probably a couple dozen. But any given night, there's probably only a few people sleeping there. But it's just become, from the county commission's eyes, it's just become a nuisance, and they would rather they just go away.
So they've come up with this ordinance, which they've taken to federal court, that forces the Occupy people to pay for their own court costs?
That's right. I think that's borders on insulting.
And have there been other means or methods to persuade them? And we had a thing here in Los Angeles, where Occupy Los Angeles negotiated with the police for a long time, and then they were forcibly evicted. So, a lot of people were very upset about what happened. But the long and the short of it is, at least there was some kind of negotiation going on here. This seems an extreme measure. What other steps have been taken prior to the council taking this step?
Well, there does seem to be a little disconnect between the law enforcement, the sheriff's office, and the county commission, because all along protesters have been working with the sheriffs, and they would make comments about, you know, their fire pit or the health and safety issues, and they would comply with them, do everything they would ask. So, you know, there really hasn't been any issue with law enforcement at all. It's just the county commission.
So, David Veazey again, an attorney representing Occupy Chattanooga, who are being sued by their local government. You went into federal court. Well, they took it to federal court, so you went in to defend the Occupy Chattanooga people. Who are the people that are being called Occupy Chattanooga? You said they don't even have names for them. They're calling them John Does.
Yeah, well, they have about five or six people that they named, but some of these people were active early on, and I know at least a couple of them never actually spent the night there, but these are names maybe they picked up in the media or elsewhere, and they had to sue somebody, so they put those names down.
Okay, so you go into federal court defending these people that the county's not even sure who they're suing, right?
That's correct.
So what happened in federal court?
Well, they filed their complaint for a declaratory judgment about 3 weeks ago, and we filed our response with a motion to dismiss this morning. So now we're just waiting for their response, and we expect to have a hearing in front of a judge to discuss whether it should go forward.
So why do you think Hamilton County went into federal court?
Well, I believe they wanted it to get a U.S. constitutional seal of approval from the federal court, and they couldn't get that from state court.
And they wanted a constitutional seal of approval that you can preemptively sue people and then expect them to pay the court costs?
Well, I don't know if that was their motivation, but that they wanted this to be, you know, seen by a federal court to be constitutional, so they can go ahead and start removing people.
So who is forcing the issue here? I take it you had the city attorney that you were up against, but who's behind this? Is it the county council? I'm trying to figure out what sort of political motive there is here, because it seems to be going well beyond, you know, a local ordinance.
Right. It's definitely the county commission is behind it. And we don't know what their motivations are. I mean, there is a sunshine law in Tennessee where they have to conduct all meetings in public, but they can meet with their attorney in private. So we don't know what particular motivations there are, if there are any particular commissioners behind it.
So in federal court, in your seeking to have it dismissed, what were the other side arguing?
Well, I mean, we don't know what their counter is to our argument that it should be dismissed based on lack of jurisdiction, but their complaint just wanted the court to say that their ordinance is constitutional. But our argument is that, you know, this is not the proper forum to decide that. The federal court can't give out advisory opinions.
And your clients, did they come to you, the Occupy Chattanooga?
Indirectly, they were seeking out legal assistance, and I just volunteered.
I see. Well, we're going to talk now with Scott Michaelman, who's a staff attorney with Public Citizen, who are also helping you with this lawsuit. When do you think you'll hear something about it? I mean, I take it that the occupiers are still camped on the lawn, right?
Yeah, that's right. Nothing's changed as far as that goes.
And the sheriff's not unhappy with them. It's the council that's trying to pull this legal maneuver.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the sheriff has said to the media that before the ordinance was passed, at least, that the Occupy movement was not breaking any laws and they didn't have any problems with them.
Right. Well, I thank you for joining us, David.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with David Veazey, an attorney representing members of Occupy Chattanooga who are being sued by their local government. He is a native of Chattanooga and an active member of the American Bar Association, the Tennessee Bar Association, and the Tennessee Association for Criminal Defense Lawyers. And joining us now is Scott Michaelman, who's a staff attorney with Public Citizen. He was previously with the American Civil Liberties Union and has taught at Seton Hall Law School, Santa Clara Law School, and the University of California at Santa Cruz. Welcome to Background Briefing, Scott Michaelman.
Thank you, Ian.
And we just spoke with David Veazey, who's handling the case down in Tennessee. where the Occupy Chattanooga people are to be evicted from camping in front of City Hall by the City Council, who've taken it to federal court, and then are basically charging the occupiers court fees to pay the county's costs, seeking judicial validation of its own law. And I mentioned it was sort of Kafkaesque. How would you describe it?
Well, I think that's a good adjective for it. What's really troubling about this case is the potential for local and state governments to chill speech that they don't want to hear by taking their political opponents to court. And the risk of a monetary judgment, as you have here, can be very dissuading for a group of people to speak out and speak their mind. Certainly not as violent as some of the police actions that we've seen across the country against Occupy demonstrators, but in many ways just as coercive.
And I take it that you've joined in because you see the bigger picture here, right? That this is a tactic that could be used, and it apparently is being employed.
That's right. Public Citizen became involved with Mr. Veazey in this case because of the broader implications, both for protest movements such as Occupy and for the potential to misuse federal jurisdiction as a political rather than a legal tool.
So they went into federal court to get the constitutional stamp of approval on this. What were they thinking, that this was a receptive federal court and somehow that, you know, it could go all the way to the Supreme Court and be validated? I've heard of this thing called Supreme Court shopping, which happened with that Second Amendment case in Washington, D.C., and also happened with Citizens United. So what's going on here?
Well, I can't speak to their legal strategy and calculations, but it seems clear that they wanted to try a new way of dealing with Occupy protests. We've seen a number of hostile state and local governments take action against protesters across the country in ways that have led to adverse publicity for the local government, particularly when the police are involved and when they precipitate confrontations. Here, certainly, there isn't the same kind of negative image for the county. The problem is that they're seeking to attack the demonstrators' wallets by dragging them into court and seeking to have them pay court costs.
And I take it that the sheriff is perfectly content to work with the Occupy protesters, and this is being precipitated by the council, presumably for what, political reasons?
It does seem to be more of a political type of lawsuit than a practical one. The on the ground, the demonstrators and the local law enforcement have been working cooperatively. When the local law enforcement officers have let the protesters know that a particular type of camping equipment, of fire pit, of sign is not a good idea or unsafe, the protesters have been completely cooperative in working out an accommodation. So this is not something that needs to be in court. And I think this is a striking example of how the First Amendment need not be at odds with law enforcement, that law enforcement and the freedom of expression can work together cooperatively without getting the courts involved, without heavy-handed tactics. But the Hamilton County Commission seems determined to make this into a political fight.
So the Occupy movements in various cities, they've had court battles over the extent of their rights. But the point about this lawsuit against Occupy Chattanooga, it's the first of its kind against Occupy demonstrators, right? Even though they don't even name these people.
Well, that's right. This is an unusual suit because instead of the usual case we've seen, which is where Occupy protesters might go into court saying the actions that have been taken against us by local law enforcement or by local governments are unconstitutional and we want to define the extent of our rights, it's a preemptive action against Occupy and an offensive action by the local governments dragging them into court. That's not something we've seen before, and we hope it that this case doesn't set a bad precedent allowing this kind of tactic.
Because you can't defend it on First Amendment grounds, right? Because they're not using the First Amendment.
Well, it's the question isn't yet whether whether the ordinance is constitutional. That's the question that the county commissioners are seeking to have determined. The problem is what happens when you take people into court in the first place, when there's no real dispute brewing, when the protesters and law enforcement are working cooperatively, and instead of waiting for an actual dispute to arise, you get people into court and try to make them pay court costs. So before we even reach the First Amendment questions, we have to talk about the use of the legal system as a tool to suppress dissent.
And I take it that the county commissioners have hired a very expensive law firm, right? That's what David told us.
You know, I'm not as familiar with the local attorneys, though I understand there's some prominent ones on the other side, but we're ready for that fight.
Right. Well, the point of that was to indicate that, you know, that there's a serious effort on their part, maybe to create some case law by the sound of it.
Right, and I think that would be a troubling precedent. It's fortunate. I think the law so far has developed on our side of the question that you can't that local governments can't march into federal court seeking rulings to determine the validity of their own laws, and I think that's a good rule that protects against this kind of action designed to deter protests by making demonstrators into defendants.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today and explaining this, Scott Michaelman.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Scott Michaelman, who's a staff attorney with Public Citizen. He was previously with the American Civil Liberties Union and has taught at Seton Hall Law School, Santa Clara Law School, and the University of California at Santa Cruz. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how the Republican Party is terrified that 2012 elections could turn out like the 1964 Goldwater blowout.